if you're like, well, the offense isn't scoring enough and the defense isn't good at the end and the special teams don't even get me started and the lack of discipline, and also why doesn't it look like, but well, if you've got 27 issues, I'm sorry, you kind of got to go to the top. It doesn't mean this is all Kyle's fault, but that's where I think the conversation should start. Like, can't I say Kyle's a great coach? Nobody should be talking job status. He's not doing a good job this year.
You can say that.
That's what I would say.
And you're probably right. And I would look at the defensive coordinator, and Guru's been really hot on this. Like, where's that same energy that we all had for Steve Wilks when people wanted him out? Nick Sorensen is not having a good year coordinating a defense, in my opinion. It's the same thing, rinse and repeat. You rush four, you play 6 yards off receivers, and these quarterbacks are able to play pitch and catch. And I'm just going to add this before we go to the phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to throw something at me, you can. But that was probably the best special teams game of the year.
Hang on. I'm going to get some of Steiny's graph paper.
Yeah. I'll say it again. That was, I think... Ow, that really hurt. I think that was the best special teams game of the year.
Yeah, that didn't annoy me yesterday.
Which, other than the straight up, the muffin swipe on the kickoff return.
So Jordan Mason muffs the kickoff, and actually it kind of worked out because he just shoveled it forwards out of bounds. I got it at the 27-yard line.
Yep.
But then the punt by Pat O'Donnell, the Seahawks, at the very end, didn't send anyone back to return to catch the punt.
So you got to loop that
sucker up. Bounce it at the 15-yard line.
Correct.
Bounce it at the he kicks it all the way into the end zone.
Correct.
That was a 22-yard net for those of us scoring at home. Yeah.
So I have a
Probably the best special teams.
Different mistakes mean different things.
Boy.
Like
yeah.
if a human being just drops a football, I'm not going to be like, coaching! Like, Jordan Mason dropped a football. Don't drop the football. That's not on the coaches. Do you know what I mean?
It's on the coaches, the fact that he's actually out there doing that.
That's a fair point.
And
sure,
he actually didn't drop it. He never actually...
He never caught it in the first place.
The ball hit him between the two and the four. It hit him so hard that thing careened 15 yards forward, as Grandy's saying, which
turned
out to be a good little return, though.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Ow!
Good job.
Ow!
Maybe it was coaching.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, here's what we're going to do from now on. I want you to just have the thing bounce off your chest like you're a soccer player and then just kick it forward, and then we'll take it up there. So maybe. I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's hear from everybody, okay? Let's start with Jeff. In Rhode Island. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm gonna vent because I've been venting all day here, so I might as well vent on the West Coast, too.
Let's do it.
Kyle, I think you're right. I go, it was a great analogy I heard when I was listening. It is like golf. It's something different all the time with this team. Where do we start? I mean, we have to start with Shanahan. And you guys are right. This offense is so stale. There's no space. Like, you eventually, they've been figured out. So you have to now counter that with something. And it looks so slow. Like you guys said, he goes, Christian doesn't look right. Debo doesn't. Besides Jennings, he's the only guy that shows you some life in that offense. And I'm like, it's not going to get any better. I mean, Green Bay, Buffalo. I mean, now we're probably going to get exposed even more on a national audience. And, I mean, it almost, I hate to say it, but is it a lost season?
It could be.
Yeah,
we're not yet. We're not there yet, Jeff.
No. Thanks, Jeff.
And the spread is stinky. That was a smelly spread. That was
coming up? Spread.
Yeah.
Is it still at 1.5?
1.5.
Packers by 1.5?
Like, okay. See if we can grab our emotion, throw it out in the other room for a second.
Okay.
Okay? Make a case for me why the 49ers should only be 1.5-point underdogs this weekend at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. I guess the case would be that, CMC is getting healthier and getting better every week.
Okay.
And we'll put aside the Nick Bosa question, but...
Thank you. No, but let's not. Like, again,
yeah.
The scenario is what it is.
Fair.
Why on earth...
And what's the George Kittle status going into next week?
Don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine, like, he was limited practice guy. Like, that was a little bit of a mild surprise late Saturday night or Sunday morning, whenever you got the news that George was not going to play. So I would imagine he plays, but yeah. I don't know.
I would expect the spread to eventually rest above a field goal, 3.5 or 4.
Oh, I'll bet you there's no way he's going to move that much, I wouldn't think. Like that'd be a lot of movement because it's settled. Like it opened and then it settled.
Yeah.
That would be crazy movement for it to go all the way up another 2 points.
Depending on, especially if he goes past 3, which is the magic number. If Bosa is announced as out, I do think that, you know, from just a neutral observation standpoint, that's a huge deal.
I agree, but don't you think most people are probably assuming that right now? I'm assuming Nick Bosa is not playing this weekend.
I am too. I wonder if the odds makers are making that same assumption.
Like they're usually ahead of us.
I'm looking at it now on ESPN and they have it at 2.
Okay.
So it might be nudging its way on up.
Maybe.
But yeah, maybe it doesn't even get beyond 3, but that to me is a weird one.
I think it's the Niner tax.
Yeah.
And we're a stubborn group. I sent this out this morning. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I think this is wild. Vegas states, okay? Vegas still states, let me make sure I get all the teams. I want to remember all of them now. Vegas states that the Packers, the Steelers, the Texans, the Vikings, the Chargers, and the Commanders all, as we sit here right now, still have longer odds to win the Super Bowl than the 49ers.
All those teams.
Longer odds.
Yeah.
The Steelers, who are 8-2 and just beat the Ravens, to sort of like really grab, they're grabbing the bull by the horns as far as the AFC North is concerned. At 8-2, longer odds. And they're in the AFC, which is tougher, but all of those teams, the Packers have longer odds than the 49ers to win the Super Bowl?
It's bananas, and I'm looking at FanDuel right now, which is the book that we use here on the show. Lions, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and Eagles are both 8-1, then there's a giant jump to the Niners. 17-1. Packers 19-1, Texans 20-1, Steelers 21-1.
I mean, I think the point that I take from that, which I am guilty of this throughout this year, most of us are, boy, we are stubborn with regard to our assessment of the 49ers. And come hell or high water, no matter what the record says, no matter what the division record is, all of these things, we refuse to believe that the 49ers aren't going to just wake up one of these days and be different.
Right.
I don't know, man. We're in the second half of the season. And I have not seen 1 week where they've looked fully awake. I thought week one was it, but I look differently on week one now looking back on it.
Of course.
Because the Jets are awful.
The Jets are terrible, and my fantasy team is suffering because of that. Thank you, Garrett Wilson, who cannot get targeted at all. I mean, the poor guy is just out there running around.
Aaron Rodgers does not complete passes in the first half.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
He waits for offside.
Yes.
And then he just looks for his buddy Devontae here and there.
Yeah.
A little bit of Breece Hall. No Garrett.
Yeah, that thing, it must have been Robert Saleh's fault. You know, looking back, that guy somewhere is just grinning ear to ear with a pocket full of Jets money, just waiting for his next actual opportunity. But I do think that some of the Super Bowl odds reflect two things. One, the memory of Kyle Shanahan and what usually happens in November and December. They usually go on a run.
Yep.
And the other piece is the NFC West is still fairly wide open, pending Arizona continuing to play well. But the Niners at 5-5, it's not like they're 3 games out.
Well,
you know?
And here's the other thing that I think is actually difficult with regard to the NFC West. We've spent all year going, well, the NFC West is terrible. Now, all of a sudden, why don't you use a different sentence? The NFC West has no teams with a losing record.
Yeah.
Now, that says something different. There's no freebies in there, and the Niners have already checked box, lost to all of them.
Yeah, all 3.
The Niners are not in good shape with regard to this whole, oh, they'll get it together and win the division. Like, it is not setting up in their favor at all.
No, they've played 4 of the 6 divisional games and they're 1-3. So even if we want to pretend that 10-7 gets it done to win the NFC West, if we play that game in our minds, well, it has to be the right 10-7, which means you have to beat Arizona. You have to beat the Rams
for sure.
And you know, whatever else happens,
you need some help elsewhere too.
You do. But if you're going to win 5 of your last 7, those have to be 2 of the 5 without question.
And there has to be something that we've not seen yet, which is an impressive win. I'm telling you right
Buffalo,
now.
Buffalo, Green Bay.
Or Detroit.
Yep.
You don't win one of those, your season's it's over. It is over.
For sure.
That's eight losses. You're out. You're out. So they're going to have to do something they haven't been able to do yet. How about Rob in Philly? Niners are so bad right now, though. The East Coast is pissed.
I think I know this Rob in Philly. I'm hoping this is the Rob in Philly I know.
Rob, what are you doing? Are you the Rob that Dibs knows?
I hope not.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I tell you what, though. Those Super Bowl odds are so weird considering that we're plus 200 to go to the playoffs right now. I don't understand that at all. Everything feels like such a struggle because it's predictable, like you guys are saying. I should, as well as we might know our teams, I should not know what's coming from my couch. Not that I sit on the couch to stay in the whole game, but I shouldn't know what's coming, and I feel like I know what's coming every play. We can all see McCaffrey isn't healthy, like you guys said. He's still getting it, like, every play. And Jordan Mason comes in. He looks like he's shot out of a cannon. What is going on? And every time Brock Purdy scrambles and makes a crazy first down or that crazy touchdown, I count on one hand this year how many times they showed a replay, and you could say, oh, maybe that guy was open. Nobody's open. This kid is making out-of-his-mind plays just to stack up a couple first downs. I'm glad he found the pylon yesterday. He deserves to get one in there running.
Rob, I think that's a great point. I don't necessarily share your thought that Christian McCaffrey looks unhealthy. I don't see that. Maybe he's working his way back, getting some of the cobwebs out. Rob, thanks very much. I would like to point this out with Brock Purdy. He didn't play great yesterday, and I've felt that way after most of the games this year. I also don't think there have been too many that were just total stink bombs. I don't think there have been too many of those either. Maybe one, maybe none. But the Purdy conversation, like, yes, the pass to Deebo Samuel that was way over his head, to me was one of the more disappointing throws I've ever seen him make. That said, though, to me, the absolute theme of the day is space. They don't have any space. And the offensive line is not playing well. And that is going to constantly make a quarterback, at minimum, have his numbers go down. And Brock is still not turning the ball over a ton. Too much, but not a ton. But what are we watching Brock do? We're watching him force balls into small windows, and we're watching him run a lot.
A lot.
And he does that very well. So he deserves some credit for that, for kind of keeping the offense moving a little bit. But you're all right if your thought is, for this particular offense, the way it's structured right now, these plays and this separation in this space, for that team to put up 30 points, Brock Purdy will need to be otherworldly. And he's not. He's not one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not Lamar Jackson. He would need to be for this offense to work because there's no time and there's no space.
Right.
You need those things as a quarterback.
And this is where I'm thinking about Jerry Rice this morning on with the morning roast, Spadoni in for Butcher. And he's talking about you've got to throw it deep two or three times just to plant the seed that you can throw it deep. And sometimes you got to just stretch the field. And I watch all these plays and I watch the game two and three times, and I don't see him having the time to go back seven-step drop and for them to send somebody all the way down the field and even take a shot right now because the offensive line is not giving him enough time. The pocket is crumbling and collapsing, and there's times Brock Purdy can stay in there and climb the pocket and make a play. There's other times when Brock Purdy can check it down, I think. I think he's seeing his checkdowns, and he doesn't want to check it down. He wants to hold on for a bigger play, and then he ends up running and scrambling when, there are checkdowns that are available that he's just not taking.
There isn't enough time to throw the ball deep downfield.
Right, exactly.
There isn't enough time. Let's go to Rob in San Jose. Nice to have a Bay Area call for the first time all day today. Hi, Rob, what are you doing?
I'm just driving around, about to go to Safeway.
Nice.
Oh, good luck in there. We'll see you in the aisles.
Dibs, I think this comes down to is a replication sensation, meaning that you go down that roster, I don't think you're going to find a player who is going to replicate the numbers and best years that they've had on that team again. George Kittle's having a good year, but he's had better years than what he's had the last couple. McCaffrey, his best year by far is going to be last year with the Niners will never replicate that. Debo will never have a better year than he's already had. I think on the defensive side, too, you looked at different players over there. Bosa may not have a better year than one that he's already had on that team, and he's one of the guys that's supposed to be the anchor on that team. I think you look around, they had a five-year window. They swung and missed in that five-year window, and now you are starting to see the league catch up and just an overall kind of decline of these players where they are not in their prime and probably going to have the best seasons that they've had in this system.
So I don't know how you feel about that, Dibs. Rob, thank you. It's an interesting call, but here would be my response to that. I want you to look around the league and look at teams who are playing well.
Okay.
Or you can even do it historically. Go back to last year. 49ers are playing well.
Yeah.
What do you notice? I would argue you almost never go, well, they're having a great year because that one individual right there is losing his mind and playing great.
You're so right.
That's not football. What happens is a team is playing well, and then everybody individually has their numbers go through the roof. What happened last year with the Niners? Christian, offensive player of the year. Brock, you're in the MVP conversation. All of these things happen. It's like the Lions right now.
I'm looking at their stats, and I'm so glad you said that. Because you've got Jahmyr Gibbs has got 800 yards. He's going to go over 1,000 easy. David Montgomery's got almost 600.
He's going to go over 1,000 too.
They have 18 touchdowns between the two of them. Two-headed monster.
I think they've had that team has had a rushing touchdown like
every hour.
No. Like an absurd number of games in a row. Like all the way through last year, the Lions have had at least one rushing touchdown in every game. But sorry, go ahead.
Amon-Ra is having a great year, and he's a number one. But Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta and, you know, Khalif Raymond and Tim Patrick, they're all chipping in. They're all contributing. And you mentioned last year, and we went through the target share from Ayuk and Kittle and Christian and Debo, and it was almost an even split, a four-way split. They shared the ball. They all played well. The offense had a multitude of weapons. This year, they don't have that due to injury, ineffectiveness, and something that you were saying earlier about teams making that adjustment and Kyle Shanahan's offense. And we've heard people talk about it being stale, and I said bland, and Lucas on our thread said boring. There hasn't been that next innovation because I do think that the league has seen all the things that he's done so well. The pre-snap motion, the eye candy, the personnel switching, all the things that have made this offense go and be unique, teams are onto it.
Yep.
So now what's the next adjustment, Kyle? Well,
and it's surprising that there hasn't been more that we've been able to see. I don't think Kyle is just sitting there drinking Mai Tais all week like, no, we're good. No, I'm sure they're trying. But whatever,
possibly.
Whatever the adjustments are, they have not worked yet. But to me, that's through my eyes. Football doesn't work that way. It's kind of the other way around. And that's why, to me, injuries are not an excuse. The Lions lost their best defensive player. What are they doing? Still playing great defense.
They gave up 6 points this week.
Yeah, because, and Jags are only sort of in the NFL, but you get what I'm saying.
Still.
Like, yes, they're still a cohesive unit. The 49ers last year would have been able to withstand an injury or two or three. I know there have been more this year, and maybe they've had more than their fair share. But if the team were reeling, if they were wheeling, man, if they were doing their thing and the play call and was all of those things, they'd be fine. They'd be fine. That game against the Rams at halftime, nobody was like, oh, my God, what do we do without all of our people? There were no people in there. No problem. Up and down the field, scoring, no problem. So I just, football is not about one or two people going off. It's about a system working great, and then everybody's numbers go through the roof because of it. You know who's going off this year? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Super good numbers. 4-7.
Yeah.
4-7. So it's I just, when you go, oh, well, Bosa isn't doing it, and Brock isn't doing it. It's not on them to go out there and carry 22 people. That just I don't think that ever works.
No, and it has to be complementary football. And last year was a great example of that. And this year is a perfect example of when it doesn't work. And yesterday is a case study where the defense does its job. They get Seattle off the field. And then now it's the offense's turn to snuff out this game, move the chains. And I'm just looking at the replay of the pass that you are fixated on, the 2nd and 11 play action to Debo. And there's no pass rusher within 5 yards of Brock.
No, he's wide open.
And he just kind of, not only did he sail it, but He just threw it way too high.
I was impressed that Deebo even got a finger on it.
Which he probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah, no joke.